I did, and you were quite right to reproach me for it.
No. I'm the one who should be saying sorry, Doc. Just that it tore my heart to see the child like that. He's only a couple hours from death.
It's that bad?
No, Christy. It's worse. The boy says he got the way he is 2 days ago. Even the most virulent plague would never run its full course in that short a time. No way.
What do you think it is?
This kind of disease isn't my specialty, but it must be massively contagious, mainly through food and water, but also carried in the air, like spores that settle on everything.
I'm beginning to hear something else in what you're saying, Mildred. And I don't like what I'm hearing.
It's simple. There's blood, shit, and spit all over the farm, in the house, in the well, the smokehouse. There's a small but real, fatally real risk of contamination.
What do we do?
We move, now, within the hour, take no food or water. It's all tainted.
But what about our home? What are we going to do with the homestead?
I might be wrong, Christina, but I don't think I am. There's only one way. Fire.
Burn the house?
Everything. The barn and the outbuildings. Let the livestock all go and hope to round them up again later. Can't take them with us. Too slow.
Where are we going?
Into the hills, north. It should be the fire will destroy the disease, and then we can come back in a week or so. No sooner.
One thing.
What?
Those people. What are we going to do with all of them?
Everyone was busy. The dead woman was hauled from the deep well and placed in the bed of a wag, along with the bodies of the two shot men. Christy scribbled a note and fixed it to the rope, just above the well's iron bucket.
Shoot! Go on, yeah, get on! Get!
The animals and fowl were all released into the surrounding desert. Jack and Christina insisted on pouring the gasoline around their home, the woman weeping as she limped around with the cans. Jack was totally silent, as though in shock. Mildred made everyone wear heavy work gloves and masks of linen, soaked in lye. The oxen were harnessed to lead the wags away, some distance from the homestead, where the rigs and the bodies would be burned to ashes. Doc took charge of that part of the mission, telling the others he'd wait for them where the land started to rise toward the steep rocks of the gorge. One reason for his early departure was to ponder the question of what to do with the handful of diseased survivors. The discussion had been, of necessity, brief and heated. Doc had been simply for leaving them where they were, though Mildred had insisted that they all face nothing more than a miserable and agonizing passing within a few hours. Christina had been for sending them away at gunpoint.
They chilled our home, we chilled them.
Trader used to say that a choice between a dead enemy and a live enemy wasn't any sort of choice at all.
Two say let them live, even if it's only for a while and a dreadful passing. Two say take them all out now, quick and clean. Mildred, you're a doctor. What do you say?
6 men, 5 women, and 4 little children. Suffering little children. I go with taking away the suffering.
I'll do it.
No, me.
You gotta light the fires with me.
Some things can't ride around.
In the end, the argument was resolved. JB had stood guard with the Uzi, gesturing for the travelers, one by one, to go around the corner of the broken wall toward the main barn. Though it was obvious what was happening, out of sight of the group, nobody made an effort to run, fight, or protest. Mildred held her ZKR 551, the Czech target pistol. The six-shot revolver was now chambered to take a standard Smith & Wesson 38 caliber full metal jacket round. She insisted on dispatching the children first, all of them frail and fretful from the plague, moaning in pain. Her hand was steady as if she were back home in Lincoln, Nebraska, carrying out delicate microsurgery, following her old specialty of cryogenics.
Don't be frightened.
After the children came the women, most kneeling as dutifully as children at their first communion. Their eyes were blanked out by the sickness, and Mildred ended their misery one by one. After 3 of the men, she stopped to reload the blaster for a second time, biting her lip as she fought back the tears. Next came the oldest of the party, a tall man in a plaid shirt, a length of homespun rope holding up his pants. One of the grotesque boils had burst beneath his right arm, and a mixture of pus and blood soaked the material down to his waist. He nodded at Mildred, managing a cocky grin at the blaster, like it was an old friend.
Best this way.
You understand?
Sure.
The next world's gotta be better than this one. Pull the trigger, lady.
So there it is, lover. Took us a while to dig the graves, but now it's done. We're moving north again into the higher country. Catch up with us, lover, as quick as you can. Want to see the boy again. And I want to feel your...
Ryan stopped reading, finding that he was closer to blushing than he'd been in years.
That's all she says, Dean.
He looked down and found that his son, stone exhausted, had already fallen asleep.
Sure, boy. Guess I'll take a little of the same.
Ryan shot a startled buck rabbit a little after dawn the next morning, knocking it over with a single round from his blaster. He ran after it as it kicked and flailed in the dry grass, and finished it off with a sharp blow to its nape.
We could take it with us and cook and eat it later, or we could maybe do it now. Seems like this is a real good place. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, it's unanimous then.
It was an idyllic setting. They had moved along the trail that wound upward from the spray-filled ravine. It headed roughly northward and was the only track that the others could feasibly have taken. It was lined with a variety of pines, some with needles that were light gray-green, some deep blue-purple, which stood on either side of the narrow rutted pathway, their scent filling the morning. Their campsite, a clearing about 80 feet across with a fringe of ripening thimbleberries at its borders, was just a little higher, alongside a place where the river opened up into a deep mirrored pool. There was a fallen live oak at the edge, its roots rotted and dry. While Ryan took out his flensing knife to skin and gut the rabbit, Dean went scavenging in the surrounding woods for some small sticks and larger branches for the fire.
Lay with some of the tinder from under the pines. Get a handful of the dried needles and first lay them on some...
Dad!
What?
My mother didn't raise no kids who couldn't lay a fire.
Sorry. Get the fire going. The rabbit's near ready. And set up the framework to carry a skewer.
Sure. You reckon the trader's really gone right back to the spring?
Dead?
Yeah. You reckon?
No. A year or so ago, I'd have laid any odds you wanted. He was sleeping the big sleep. Now, well, there's whispers and rumors. Takes a mighty sharp arrow to pierce through the dust of those rumors, Dean. Here's the steel and flint.
You saw him last?
Nah, that was... Fireblast. What was his name? It was...
Not JB?
No. Abe. That was him. Abe was the last guy to see Trader. He's dead now, I guess. A skinny guy with a mustache and long hair. He used to get kidded about his hair. He saw Trader take a last walk into the forest. No. He's dead, all right.
A curling tendril of light smoke rose from the carefully constructed little fire that the boy had started. Ryan handed Dean the rabbit, ready for cooking. The water in the pool was surprisingly deep. Ryan watched dragonflies darting just over the placid surface. The morning was quiet, with only the wind sighing through the branches of the trees. The crackling of the fire began to override it, and the smell of roasting meat drifted to the one-eyed warrior's nostrils. It was good to relax in safety, though in Deathlands you could never just lie down and close your eyes. Christie's mention that there might be muties in the mountains made Ryan cautious, but nothing could spoil the moment. Dean lay down by the cooking rabbit, occasionally turning the makeshift spit. Ryan rested against the fallen live oak, hands clasped behind the back of his head, staring up through the moving branches at the clear blue sky. Occasionally birds flew by, darting so fast that there was no time to recognize them, though their shrill piping washed around the forest.
Think we're close to Christie and the others?
Been wondering about that myself. Can't tell how far behind them we are. I figure it can't be more than 24 hours or so. Just keep going and we'll find them camped someplace. Then everything will be just fine.
We should shot two rabbits, Dad.
Why?
Then I could eat this one all on my own and you could have the other one.
How about I eat this one, and you get the one that we haven't shot yet?
The wood burned bright and true, sending its column of smoke vanishing above them. It was light enough that Ryan didn't worry about it being spotted by anyone, particularly after it had been dissipated through the branches. Occasionally, a globule of fat from the cooking meat would crackle in the flames with a burst of sharp sound.
It'll be done soon.
Good. We can drink water from the pool there. Looks clean enough.
Ryan stretched out, feeling the growing heat of the sun soaking into his strained and abused muscles. It had been hard going for the past week or so. Despite the bad news of the homestead having to be burned against the disease, it would be good to spend a month or so helping Jack and Christina rebuild it. Dean waved a hand, his mouth open,